Hey, Murdoch, anything new out on the precinct?
Not too much. Quiet night out on the streets.
Hey, did I hear we got 7 new bodies?
Absolutely.
Must have a serial killer on our hands. I think we should call them the Strizzle Brothers. You know,
no.
Those are our metal detector guys.
We need the best. Bring in Dylan and Dutch.
I was just at the car to put the key in the door. Mm-hmm. And a guy comes up to me, puts a gun in my face, says, "Give me your wallet." And I look at him, and I don't look in the barrel of the gun, because everyone always says, "Oh, I was so scared I was looking down the barrel of the gun." Well, that's stupid. Don't look down the barrel, it's just a hole. So I was looking at him right in the eye.
We're not afraid of holes.
No. We go through them. Look him straight in the eye, and I say, there are two people in this world. Those who are afraid of guns, and those who aren't. And he's looking at me, and the more I talk, the more horrified he becomes. And then I finish off saying, "Can you guess where I lie?" And he slowly puts the gun down, and I say, "Why don't you give me that gun before you get hurt?" And I say, "Son," and I call him son, because
sure.
He's younger than me, and I could do that. It's not patronizing, it's condescending. I say, "Son, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll tell you this, you have the tiger by the tail." And put the gun on the ground, and we got to talking, and I don't know if I convinced him to turn over a new leaf, but I did give him money out of my wallet, because if you're that desperate,
yeah,
I mean, you're looking at 10 years at least,
yeah,
in prison just for the gun.
Yeah.
So I gave him money out of my wallet, and he walked away without the gun. That was the most important part.
Mm.
It was a really interesting dream I had.
Mm.
Welcome to Dylan and Dutch.
Welcome.
Metal detecting.
Welcome.
You're listening to Dylan and Dutch, just shooting the breeze.
On the road again.
We're on the road to getting, obviously our holiday photos taken.
Yeah. Got to get that done every year.
Every year we do it because we have a brand that our sponsors want us to keep up. And it's hard, but keeping up the brand is important because we got to pay our sponsors somehow. Their kids have to go home and eat.
Got to make sure we're getting our faces out in the public, you know.
What did we do last week?
The ribbon cutting.
For that library,
yeah.
And the new wing on the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
We were donating
yeah.
some money to. We met with the president of the United States. But it was a closed-door meeting. There's no photos.
No. That was just, we were just shooting the breeze.
He had some questions about some things underneath the White House, and we were like, we'll look into it when we got the time, but we're so busy.
Yeah. It's kind of like that movie, National Treasure.
I never saw that.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining it was kind of like that movie.
I don't know how you feel about him, but I'm not a big Nicolas Cage fan.
That's why I didn't see the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since Con Air, I could not ever watch another Nicolas Cage
movie. Did you like Con Air?
No, not at all.
I actually really hated it.
Yeah.
But you know what I liked? Of all the Nicolas Cage movies I liked, I really liked The Wicker Man.
See, I haven't seen that.
Do you want to know why I liked it?
Does he die?
He's brutally murdered at the end. Like, comically, brutally murdered. I hope I didn't spoil it for you. Wait. It's a remake. If I spoiled it for you, you're a loser. That's just the straight-up science fact.
I mean, what are you doing watching a Netflix Cage movie anyway?
Yeah. Raising Arizona, awful. Ghost Rider, terrible. I also hated Geely, but he wasn't in that. But if we're going on things that we hate... Is that an owl or a bat?
An owl just flew over us because, well, it's...
Protective?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on our way to the mall to get some holiday photos. We send them out to everyone. We send them out to all the magazines that feature us on their covers. People, Star, Inquirer, what else?
Gold Digger Weekly. Yeah, all those.
Men's Health.
Men's Health.
Cosmopolitan that one time. But that wasn't, we weren't the front of the cover, but they did.
We've never sent one to Maxim, but they've asked us for photos.
I don't like, Maxim is a little too risque. They always ask.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just send them one anyways, but we're not, this is more of a wholesome group. I mean, we sent one to Playboy, but that's because Hugh Hefner is just a really good fan. And I don't want to know about his business, but he's really big into the arts and music, and he actually helped a lot of African American musicians get their start during his time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, getting our photos taken. So if you would like to see this photo, I would suggest heading on over to our website dddmining.com, and you are for sure going to be in for a treat.
You could download it, put it on your wallpaper in your desktop. Well, what else would you do with it? Print it out?
You might print it out, send it back to us, and ask us to sign it.
We'll sign it.
Yeah. I would sign it. I wouldn't turn someone down.
We're not going to turn you down, but enclose $35 to Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting.
Each.
So. Yeah. $70. I think it's a steal, really, considering what we've been through. Also, if you're wanting us to come to your ribbon-cutting ceremony, or if you want us to make appearances, you could talk to our agent, and that'll be on our website. That's how you could get a hold of us.
Birthday parties.
Bar mitzvahs. Bat mitzvahs. Quinceañeras.
Yeah.
Quinceañeras are big. We're big in, in a lot of in that population.
Hablo Español.
Absolutely. Very much habla in Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny story about Spanish, not the language, but in high school, my Spanish teacher was a Playboy pinup.
Wow.
Yeah, and I could not pay attention.
That would be hard.
Because I was 14, and obviously. But I got an A in the class because I cheated off the guy next to me who cheated off electronic translator. Mm. He ended up being the valedictorian of our school 2 years later.
Wow, he figured it out.
I guess cheaters win, but...
And you know what A is?
They never prosper. What is it?
Ah.
Oh. You know, we should have a Spanish word of the week.
That'd be good.
I think we nailed it. Ah is A.
This week's Spanish lesson.
We should we should do? We should do Rosetta Stone. We should have our own version of it. But, like, for other languages that aren't mentioned in it, like Inuit.
Yeah.
And Cherokee. Which brings up, when I don't know, now I know why I brought up Cherokee. You remember that time we were hanging out with a Cherokee tribe on the plains, and we were going buffalo hunting?
That was an incredible experience.
Can you tell our listeners what happened during the hunt? Because it blew my mind.
So we were on the plains, and, well, you know, the plains are known for some of that nasty weather. We're looking in the distance. It's getting stormy. This tornado starts forming.
It was like a supercell, and then there's a tornado.
Yeah, it was incredible. I'd never seen a tornado before. I'd always wanted to, and to be with this tribe and on the plains hunting buffalo. It was a magical
experience. We're skipping over a lot. They welcomed us in, and it was a breathtaking ceremony. But the tornado was bearing down.
And so I was not prepared for this part, but the whole tribe, they start going full speed at the tornado.
I was a little scared.
And we're all on our horses, and I follow them.
Here's the thing. Cherokee, they're very honorable people.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it a blanket statement. Sorry.
That's good.
They're fearless, and actually all Native Americans are amazing, honorable. Brian, go.
That's been our experience. So Dylan and I we follow them. We're not going to be.
I was a little leery. We were a little leery of it.
It was new. It was a new thing, and we were cautious. Maybe, I don't know.
Usually, in survival training, we usually teach to go away from tornadoes.
Yeah.
That seems to be like the textbook response. Not to the Cherokee.
No. So they, oh my gosh, they start circling the tornado, but in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
On their horses. They're screaming, they're yelling. Just
was
like that.
You know what we're going to do? I'm going to edit that part out because that was probably inappropriate. But go on.
Well, it's what it sounded like. So screaming, yelling, and the opposite direction of the tornado starts slowing down. It stops.
It absolutely stops. It's as if someone turned off the tornado. It fell out of the sky.
You know, I mean, with all of our science and, you know, weather detecting and understanding of this stuff, they knew how to stop a tornado.
Yeah.
We don't even know where they're going to set down.
And we kill them with smallpox blankets. It's ridiculous what we've done.
Yeah. Years of knowledge that is just gone.
It brings up an important point. Actually, a debate, and I want to get back to this. Brings up a debate me and Brian have been having for years, about 10 years. Who's the greatest American? And usually I went with you know, Native Americans because they were kind of the first. But we ended up boiling it down to two people. Brian, you want to say your... I'm going to say it's specious, which is a big fancy word for I think it's complete BS that you think this person is the greatest American.
Well, usually at the top of my list is Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
And a lot of people, they're automatically going to say, oh, because he freed the slaves. No. It's not... I mean, that. Yeah, great. Nice job.
He really didn't,
Yeah. He had a killer beard. Killer beard. Yeah. And that's an inspiration to all Americans, I think, really, that you can aspire to greatness and achieve it if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah. And I always go back to the greatest American being Hulk Hogan. And what do I say? 24-inch biceps. End of the argument. Right that, there.
I can't say anything to that.
What is that noise in the background? I think it's one of my kids' toys. Let me go turn it off. So anyways, the tornado falls. Everything's done. Brian, what happens?
We go back to camp. We've already, you know, gotten some buffalo at this point. Go back to camp and just spend the whole night talking story, recounting the glory that happened on the plains, and
they thought it was nothing. They're like, oh, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, white man?
So, Dylan and I, we were trying to get out of them, you know, what was the secret? Because the very next day, we tried it on our own.
It threw us like 400 yards.
At least.
But you know what it was? It was like when Daryl was talking about the wolves and how they, it was just a secret and they wouldn't share with us because we weren't really part of the tribe.
No.
And you have to respect that.
Yeah.
Because you have to be culturally appropriate when you hang out with other groups of people that aren't part of your ethnic background.
Absolutely.
So, after the tornado, what's in the middle of the tornado? Three buffalo. One gave birth. This is what blew my mind. You actually confronted the mother buffalo. You were helping the mother buffalo deliver the child.
It was just kind of instinct. I saw that the mother buffalo was struggling and knew that she might not make it if I didn't intercede. And so I rolled up the sleeves of my denim coat and reached on in and delivered that buffalo calf. It happened to be an albino buffalo calf, too.
Yeah.
Which...
Good luck.
You know, I thought, hey, maybe this is some kind of sign. Maybe we will be accepted as part of the tribe. But no, still nothing.
Yeah. We left. It was just a good experience.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
What can you say? So, going back to where we're at now. We're at the mall. And we're going to have matching outfits. Another debate you and I have had is what's the most fiercest animal? Brian. Dutch.
For
Again,
me?
This is a decade-long argument.
In my encounters with different animals, the most, the fiercest animal that I specifically have encountered is probably a giant squid.
Right.
And that was, this is another story, but that was when we were doing some undersea mining. Right. And,
off of Peru. This is off the coast of Peru.
In the trench. Yeah. And, lo and behold, giant squid.
We didn't even know it was a squid. But when we were scuba diving, we were free diving down about 200 yards down the ocean floor, and it just seems darker than usual. It was the ink.
Yeah. And I felt something on my shoulder. I thought Dylan was just playing a joke on me, so I didn't turn around.
It was the size of a building, like a skyscraper building, you would think.
They get pretty big. Architeuthis is the scientific name, I believe. And so, yeah, for me, that was the fiercest battle that I've had. I didn't kill it. First of all,
what are we about? We don't kill animals.
Not if we don't have to.
Not if we don't have to.
No.
Giant squid? You're not going to kill a giant squid.
That's an incredible animal.
If you killed a giant squid, no one would believe you. That's why you leave it alive. Everybody believes us now. We're on the cover of National Geographic that month because we didn't kill it.
I was wearing my red beanie.
That's right. And my argument is always, it's a unicorn. That's the fiercest animal. It has a sword on its head. And I can't really prove or disprove because God killed it during the flood because I think it needed to be taken out. We don't have unicorns now. People say, oh, it's the rhinoceros. No, a unicorn is a horse with a sword on its head. And it would, archaeologically speaking, we can prove that it was the animal kingdom's serial killer. They think it's friendly and nice, and little girls draw unicorns on their, what are they called, trapper keepers? I don't know what they call them now. But it actually was the Jeffrey Dahmer of the animal kingdom, and that was also one of the reasons I think God sent the flood. I think, besides humanity's sinful nature, it's also the unicorn had to go.
Speaking of unicorns,
I know we
have them emblazoned.
I was going to say emblazoned. That's a perfect word. That's a perfect word for it. We like use the same brain. I sometimes think.
On our sweaters right now.
Absolutely.
So once again, if you go to dddmining.com, you can see the actual sweaters themselves and Dylan and Dutch in all their glory.
And of course, the title to the sweaters, like the word on top is believe, because
says it all.
I mean, what better word to wrap up our entire being than believe? We believe in what we do. We believe in our skills. Mm-hmm. Everyone else does. Speaking of which, we're a little tired today because we just got done contracting with the Guatemalan government to find landmines from the Civil War from 58 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we do, and we could do this because it's declassified, part of what we do is we go in and we train guerrilla warfare tactics to teach people how to find things underground with our Garrett AT Pro metal detectors.
You know, Garrett also makes specific metal detectors for finding landmines, but we have found that the AT Pro, you know, you don't need anything else.
You really don't. I think pinpointer's good, but when you're looking for a mine, it shows a certain frequency. You don't really need a pinpointer. You just need a shovel.
Yeah. It's good for the Army, I guess.
Yeah, and so we were in Guatemala. We were a little jet-lagged. That was fun. I mean, it's probably why you know that the letter A is pronounced A in Spanish. Our 4 months in the jungle with the natives there.
You know, I had a delicious drink down there. I can't remember the name of it.
You know what it was? I think it was was it horchata? Or was it... It's more...
I think that's... Is that specifically Mexican? I'm not
sure. No, I think it is. I think what you had was fermented cow's milk. Could that have been it?
It could have been it, yeah. There were a lot of cows.
Oh my God, there were.
Yeah.
A lot of cows blown up, too.
A lot of cow parts.
Yeah. I mean, we ate well.
For sure.
You know what? Keeping with the tradition of each podcast talking about a beverage that we're drinking, we're probably not going to drink it just yet, because I am going to be driving it in about an hour. But what I did for Dutch is, and for me, obviously, is... I went online and I got us an advent calendar. It's a whiskey advent calendar. Every day from December 1st to December 24th, we take a little, it's like a little, it's called a dram of scotch.
It's 33 centiliters, or 3 centiliters, I'm
3
sorry.
Centiliters, which is almost a full shot. I think it is a shot.
Yeah, I think it is. No, for, yeah.
So, today I'm going to be drinking Yoichi. I think it's Japanese single malt whiskey. It is 86 proof scotch.
And I have the Girvan Patent Still Proof Strength. And this is a fall down scotch whiskey here. This is 57.1%.
So that's 114.2 proof.
That's
the highest proof I've ever seen.
Me too.
Like, legally.
Yeah. This would really disinfect some wounds.
Oh my lord. Yeah. Just like the wound we got after the buffalo was delivered. The mom wanted him, but the mom was dying because she was breech.
She was erratic.
And it was like jumping up and down, flipping around. I had to get on it, and I actually had to put her in a sleeper hold.
Yeah.
Knocked her out. I didn't kill it, but I did knock her out. But in doing so, I had a gash on my forehead, pretty large. And I took out some whiskey and I threw it all over my face.
Mm-hmm.
But you were smart. You took out your lighter. You lit my face on fire just to cauterize the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually looked pretty good. I look even better now, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's good. Helps the skin.
I look great. Complexion. I look better than Richard Pryor did after his freebasing accident.
I told Dylan that this advent calendar was the best Christmas present that I've ever received, other than when I was 8 years old, I received a bag full of Ninja Turtles.
I was going to say, of course. Yeah. I would have loved to see that. Do you still have it? You still have it, right?
I still have all the Ninja Turtles. I do.
Who is your favorite? Because, first of all, it says a lot about a person on who their favorite Ninja Turtle is. Not who your favorite was then, because everyone's favorite was Michelangelo.
Everyone's, of course.
I mean, if it wasn't, you're an idiot. But yeah. Now, you're an adult. You're 34, 35.
He's a party dude.
Yeah. You got kids, you have a family, you have a profession. Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle now?
Donatello.
Oh my god, that's a good one.
He does machines.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I really like Leonardo because it's the struggle.
Hmm.
He's the leader, and I'm not saying I'm in a leader in my home, but when you let's say I watch it for 8 hours at a time, and you see Leonardo trying to group his brothers together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle, and it really hits me, and I don't want to tear up, but it's this struggle of survival, and knowing that, yeah, they're mutants, but they're people, and he has to keep them together because he's the glue.
Yeah.
And I don't know of a better euphemism for being a parent, or even more, and I invite any challenges to this. Or even more, a better euphemism for being the greatest metal detectors on Earth.
It's a heavy responsibility.
Michelangelo's an idiot. Every time I watch, I just think pizza for breakfast.
He's the younger sibling.
Oh, is he really? That makes a lot of sense.
You know, one of the most touching scenes, I think, from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's only what I'm talking about, the original.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When they're all around the campfire.
Yeah.
In the wilderness.
Oh god, every time.
And,
every time.
Splinter appears in the fire. And it was just a great reuniting, bonding moment for all the brothers.
If you don't cry during that scene, you're not a human.
No.
It's like if you don't cry at the end of Old Yeller when he shoots the dog. Spoiler alert.
Rewind it and don't
rewind
listen
it.
To that part.
Right. We'll take in post, we'll edit that part out because I feel bad. Or if you don't cry at the end of Terminator 2. When Arch the Terminator falls in the molten steel,
gives
a thumbs up to that
Sean, was it Sean?
What's
Connor?
That kid? John Connor.
John Connor.
John Connor.
Who's Sean Connor?
It's his brother. Nobody cares about him.
No.
No, that makes a really good point. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise is Americana, and it's American. I mean, what's better? Can you think of anything more American than that?
Some people will try.
I might say Hulk Hogan. But
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Did you like Hollywood? It's when he turned heel.
I liked the
and
original.
Became, yeah.
You know, the no holds barred.
Oh my
Hulk
gosh, against Zeus?
With Zeus.
That was an amazing movie.
That's great.
And here's the biggest kick to the pants in that movie. Wasn't nominated for the Oscar.
No?
No.
No.
And I think he, after that, I think he fell off the radar a little bit. But I, no better acting I've ever seen in my life. Maybe maybe Laurence Olivier in, what movie was he in? Anything? He was in The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. Wait, I've never asked you this. Well, I've known you like 35, 40 years. Do you like Neil Diamond or do you not?
I grew up listening to Neil Diamond.
I love Neil Diamond. Do you have a favorite song?
I mean, you know, the go-to for everyone is probably Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, right? That's fun.
But I don't...
It's a fun one.
I wouldn't say that's my favorite necessarily. I really like probably his rendition of You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Duet. Duet.
Is that with Barbara Streisand?
With Babs.
Oh, my God. That's from the now, that's from the movie The Mirror Has Two Faces.
See, I didn't know that.
With Barbara Streisand and Jeff Bridges.
I did not.
It's a great romantic... It's a romance, not a romantic comedy, because Jeff Bridges... Well, Barbara Streisand isn't that funny, but Jeff Bridges is brilliant, and we're going to talk about The Big Lebowski. But You Don't Bring Me Flowers, that's actually a really good one. I really like Brooklyn Road, or Brooklyn Roads, because I grew up next to a... in a part of town that had a Bachman Road, and I would always sing it Bachman Road.
Oh.
And it's a song about a kid that doesn't do so well in school, and he's always imagining things, and I really think Neil Diamond wrote that about me.
Hmm.
We're rounding third, and this has been a really good podcast. People learn a lot about us.
It's been revealing.
One of the things we're going to eventually touch on, and it's going to be a long, it's going to be a process, because things are, the person was finally convicted, and the appeals have already run out. But eventually we're going to talk about the serial killer we hunted. You want to just talk about that just briefly? Give the listeners a taste.
You know, it's not too often that, you know, Dylan and I are shocked by anything. But when we were approached with this case...
And we can't say the agency, but it's a three-letter agency.
Yeah.
It's got an acronym. There in the United States.
And really take your pick.
Sure.
Yeah, we've been approached. But it was quite shocking, the details of the case and some of the photos and when they took us to the crime scene. We knew...
It wasn't the first crime scene we were at. It was the first crime scene for this particular killer. And it shocked me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we knew right away this is not something we can turn down. This is...
Part of what we do...
Not our...
It's our duty.
Our duty. That's the
if someone, word I was looking for. If the government needs help, if our government needs help, we're going to take a stand and help. And because of our hard work, we actually stopped a serial killer in his tracks.
Mm.
And we're not going to talk about the fight we had with him, but it was grisly. And you and I were hospitalized.
Yeah.
For, I think, 9 months? 9.5 months.
I got out a little earlier.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that fight. But it was kind of life-altering.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we did a good service.
Justice was served.
It really was. And he, like animals, we didn't want to kill him because we wanted him to face justice in the courts. We're not Batman. We're not killing everyone in sight.
No, vigilantes.
Yeah. So we're going to eventually talk about that in our following podcasts. But one thing I want people to know about us is we're Americans. It's American. It's not Americant. Do you want to leave us on a high note?
I really do. You know, one of the things that we typically will do is we'll talk about the most useful tool.
Absolutely.
That we had
absolutely
on one of our missions. So, Dylan, right now, what would you say is the most useful tool in your arsenal for going into this photo shoot?
Right now, I have 30 throwing knives.
around my calves and underneath this sweater. But that's not the most useful tool. I think the most useful tool for me tonight is... I'm going to go with my beard comb.
No, I almost was going to say the same thing.
Right.
I did bring my beard comb.
It's, sure. Well, it's always on me.
Sorry, this is my beard brush. I didn't bring my comb.
You have a brush, I have a comb. I always have it on me. I take it in the shower.
That's good. That's good. Because, you know, we're going into the picture.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a useful tool. I'd say for me, for this photo shoot, it's probably going to be my Paul Newman blue eyes.
Oh, my God. They just pop. They pop out.
Even in, like, a black and white movie, they would pop.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, we're real Americans. I'm a real American. Fight for my right. Fight for the rights of every man. That's the song. That's Hulk Hogan's song. We're going to end on Hulk Hogan's song for this podcast.
Good idea.
All right. Dylan and Dutch out.